You found us. Welcome to the Hullminster Podcast, a church in the centre of Hull. Your place to worship, enjoy, explore and to belong. If you'd like more information in how you can get involved, visit our website at www.hullminster.org.
I understand it's good to be here at the 6:30 service. I understand you've been looking at the book of James. Now, I'm normally involved in the 9:30 and occasionally get unleashed to come to other services. So it's nice to be here, and it's nice to be part of your worship here this evening. And you'll be looking at this letter of James. And this book of James is like a manifesto, a manual of discipleship. There's all kinds of things in this, and there's been some suggestion that actually the book of James was actually a series of collected sermons rather than a kind of actual letter. And someone decided to compile these sermons that James was giving and producing. And it kind of reads like that as you read the book of James, doesn't it? And he talks about standing firm during trials and temptations. He talks about living out the Christian faith in a practical, lived-out way rather than just studying it or hearing it. He talks about loving selflessly. He talks about taming the tongue. Wow, that's one we could do to hear it more and more, isn't it? Talks about humbling yourself before God, trusting in God rather than wealth, and exercising patience. But this last little section of James is actually a summary of the teaching that's gone on before in the whole series of letters, or series of little mini sermons, if you will. And so that's what I'm going to focus on tonight. And we're going to be talking about prayer. So, as we're talking about prayer, let's pray together. Father, we think if we look at this subject of prayer that you would encourage us and that you would motivate us to be more and more aware of your presence and your amazing ability to answer our prayers and come alongside us. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now, as a start, I want to ask you where you stand on a particular subject. This is important. Okay, where do you stand on this subject? Are you Star Trek or Star Wars? Star Wars. Thank you very much. Anybody Star Trek? A few people Star... Good. Two people Star Trek. Star Wars. Who doesn't care? Okay, now I've heard that there are people like that who don't care about Star Trek or Star Wars, but I've never actually met them. It's your... It's nice to meet you, people who don't care about Star Wars or Star Trek. I've heard there were such people. But I'm actually both. I hope you don't think that's a cop-out, but I'm actually both. I like Star Trek and I like Star Wars. But actually, I'm just a little bit more Star Trek than Star Wars, I think. And my geek soul is currently in delight because there's a whole new Star Trek series based on Captain Picard. Does anybody know about that? Heard about that? Does anybody even care? Okay, well, it's coming out. You've obviously heard about it. It's coming out, isn't it? Seven of Nine's going to be in it. The speculation that Worf might be in it. Oh, man, I just can't wait. It'll be fantastic. Now, one of the things about Star Trek is that it kind of prefigures some of the technology that we now take for granted. Okay? And one of the things about Star Trek is when you're on an away mission, you've got constant contact with the Enterprise. That's right, you've got constant contacts, and you can get your communicator out and you can speak to the Enterprise, which is up there somewhere in space. You've got constant contact with Enterprise, and you can get advice, you can hear things, you can be told things, they can beam things down. It's absolutely brilliant. And you're in constant contact when you're on an away mission. And just in just the same way, we're kind of like on an away mission, aren't we? As far as God's kingdom is concerned, the scriptures talk about our home being heaven, but like we're in this temporary place of citizens of God, and we're on an away mission. And because of that, we're in constant communion with God, constant communication with God through prayer. Now, I'm going to be talking about prayer tonight, and I just want to say as a disclaimer that I am someone who struggles with prayer. Okay? I haven't got it all figured out. I haven't got it all kind of squared off, and I don't fully understand how prayer works and what it's all about. And I'm on a journey with this. And it seems to me that often people who preach and speak are often great at making us feel guilty about A, not praying, and B, not witnessing enough. Now, not giving money comes a third one, but that's usually a bit more subtle. But not praying and not witnessing enough is the one thing we can always feel kind of quite guilty about, can't we? You know, we don't quite measure up, because sometimes we miss those opportunities to speak. We know that we don't pray enough because we actually don't know. What does it mean to not pray enough? I don't really know that. So I struggle with prayer, but I want to encourage you tonight to realise that we always have an always-on connection with God. And prayer is something that we can all grow in and learn about. And these particular verses are about prayer. It says, if any one of you is in trouble, he should pray. Is anyone happy? Let me sing songs of praise. Is anyone sick? He should call on the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. So basically what James is saying there is that there is absolutely no inappropriate time to pray. If you're in trouble, pray. If you're happy and you've got things to thank God for, pray. If you're sick, call for the elders of the church, the leaders of the church, to anoint you with oil and pray for you, and that prayer will help you to get healed. Is anybody cheerful? Let him sing praises. If someone is happy, let them sing songs of praise. Pray in all circumstances. Now, like I said, I struggle with prayer. I haven't got it all figured out. But what I do believe about prayer is that prayer isn't kind of like twisting God's arm. It's not about kind of praying for a certain length of time so that once we've got to that point, God says, okay, well, you've prayed long enough now. I'm going to start answering your prayers. And our prayer isn't dependent upon the fact that we might like feel especially holy or especially anointed or anything like that. Prayer is part of the always-on connection between us and God. Is anybody cheerful? Let him sing praise. Anybody suffering? Let him pray. Pray in all circumstances. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18 says, rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And I used to think, what does this thing about praying without ceasing actually mean? Does it mean that you're like these kind of special people who are really, really good at prayer? Because there seems to be some people like that around, don't they? And some people that can pray for hours and hours. I struggle to pray for 5 minutes, me. I don't know about you, but I struggle to pray for 5 minutes because my mind just wanders all over the place. So what does this thing mean about praying in all circumstances? Praying without ceasing. Well, let's unpack it a little bit. Some time ago, Archbishop Sentamu did a prayer pilgrimage or a mission pilgrimage. I think he was going around the whole country, but he came to Hull. And my wife Sharon and I got a call from York itself to come and meet with him. Actually, that's not what happened. We got asked to accompany him on this pilgrimage. And one of the places we went on the pilgrimage was a community college on Anglesby Road, which is run by the Goodwin Centre. Most of you know that my wife is the chair of the Goodwin, and that was part of the kind of projects that she's been involved in developing. And it was a project for the headscarf heroes. Some of those women from Hesel Road who were involved in agitating so that there were better safety conditions for the men who went out to sea in the trawlers. And there's like, it's still there actually, there's like a mural for commemorate them particular people. And the idea was for the Archbishop to come and bless that. And we were able to accompany Archbishop Sentimo in that. And as he walked across as well, in his little purple cassock thing and his stick thing, it was great, onto a Hull Truck Theatre Company. And the Archbishop prayed for the arts, specifically in Hull. And I was thinking, what a brilliant example of what prayer to me is all about. And he did a little service here in the Minster on a Saturday morning, and he was talking about prayer. And what he said about prayer actually transformed completely my understanding of what prayer is and what praying without ceasing means. And some of you might think, oh, well, this is fairly standard. We already knew this, Terry. If you did, keep on doing it. But it was a real transforming thing for me. And what the Archbishop was saying was that in actual fact, it's not necessarily about praying and praying for hours on end, because I really struggle with that. And I know some people can do that, but I really struggle with that. But what he's talked about was sending out consistent little arrow prayers on a day-to-day basis in whatever you're doing before God. And that transformed my understanding of what prayer is. And basically, I believe that that's what it means to say when Paul talks about praying without ceasing. That we're saying prayers to God all the time, just on our, in our day-to-day life. And this is what this passage seems to be saying. If someone's struggling, if someone's suffering, talk to God about it. The suffering of which this verse speaks about could be physical, emotional, could be our circumstances. And the antidote to that is prayer. Just give that to God. Talk to God about it. Then if anyone is cheerful, let him sing praises. Sometimes, I can only speak for myself, but sometimes we forget to give thanks to God, don't we? For the amazing things that he's done for us. Now, let's face it, knowing that you know Jesus, you've got God's Holy Spirit, you know that you've been saved, you've been redeemed, you have the resurrection life of Jesus in you, that should put a smile on your face, if nothing else, every day. But sometimes we forget to be thankful in all things. And you know what? Gratitude towards God tends to transform our attitude and our thinking and the way that we do things. If anybody's cheerful, let him sing praises. If anyone's sick, ask the elders to come and anoint them with oil and pray for healing. Again, if there's sickness in your life, ask the leaders of the church to come round and pray for you, and God will intervene. You will get well, according to this verse. Then it talks about confessing your sins to one another. And it seems to me that that means being honest and open with each other about the things that we're struggling with. And learn from people like Elijah, who was just like us, but whose prayers were powerful and effective. Pray in all circumstances. Now, if you ever heard any sermons often about prayer, sometimes people will say that actually what you need to do is kind of generate a certain amount of faith, okay, and then you'll get your prayers answered. And sometimes I've even done that. People talk about the prayer that when Jesus talked about having faith as small as a mustard seed. Have you heard that said? faith as small as a mustard seed. Have you ever seen a mustard seed? It's really, really tiny. And I've heard preachers get out a little mustard seed and say, if you had faith as good as that, you could move mountains. And I used to think to myself, well, no wonder I'm no good at prayer, because if my faith is so pathetic that it's not as small as a mustard seed, forget it, I'm never going to get answers to prayer. Until I actually realised what Jesus was actually saying. That when it comes to prayer, it's not so much about how small or how tentative or how fickle or how full of doubt our faith might be. It's actually Jesus who moves the mountains. And it's nothing to do with the measure of faith that we might have. And that's why James uses Elijah as an example. It wasn't that Elijah had a certain cluster of faith that kind of grew to a certain level, like a substance. You know what I mean? Like a kind of ball of faith that kind of grew till it was like the size of a mustard seed and then got a little bit bigger, because it must be a big cluster of faith, mustn't it? If it's going to stop rain for a couple of years. It must be a huge cluster of faith. But actually, what James is saying is that actually it wasn't so much that God was saying, okay, once you've got enough faith, I'll start stepping in and doing things. He was actually saying, what I'm looking for is for you to cooperate with my work in your life and in the lives of others. So it's God who stopped the rain. It's Jesus who moves the mountains. And even with our tentative little bit of faith, we can get in on that. So someone who struggles with prayer, I want to encourage you to be a prayer person. One of my heroes is Nicholas Herman of Lorraine. He was a lay brother at Parish Monastery. And a lot of the things that he said was about glorifying God while he was washing up and doing the pots and pans. And he said, and we now know him as Brother Lawrence, but he said, think often on God, by day, by night, in your business, and even in your diversions. He is always near you and will be with him, you. Leave him not alone. So we have this always on connection with God. And I want to suggest a couple of things to you that help us move on in prayer. Firstly, just start your day with God. Start your day with praying to God. And that's not a heavy thing. That's not a duty-bound thing. Doesn't mean to say that if you forget to do that you're going to have a bad day, because sometimes I've prayed in the morning and still had a bad day. Sometimes I've not prayed and had a brilliant day. So it's not about that. It's about committing your day to God in prayer. And then I want to encourage you to just pray intentionally during the day. Just little arrow prayers. Now, it seems to me that when it talks about the fervent prayer of Elijah, fervor always comes at the end of our resources. So, for example, when I got in my car today, I didn't particularly pray. Maybe other people on the road did, I don't know. But I didn't particularly pray because I kind of know how to drive and I'm reasonably how to drive safely. Oh, so I hope. But there's certain points in my life and my experience where I know that I need to pray fervently even, because I've come to the end of my own resources. So I pray about that. So pray intentionally during the day. Let me just give you an example. I work in a prison. Most of you know that. I work in a prison. I work among people with drug and alcohol problems whose offences have been related in some way. I work on a recovery wing. And there's a particular guy I'm working with at the moment. There's no pressure whatsoever. He's got multiple needs. And he's subject to a multidisciplinary team, basically, psychologists and all kinds of people working with this person. The one person who is tasked to see him once a week is me. And the governor of the entire prison is kind of keeping an eye on what I'm doing with this particular person. No pressure then. So I'm going to pray fervently about that. As I go and see that person, I'm asking God for help. I'm asking God for wisdom. James said we could pray for wisdom and God would give it to us. As an aside, this whole thing about wisdom is something that's totally neglected in the church. About praying for wisdom for our situations, praying for wisdom of the with the people that we meet on a day-to-day basis, in our relationships. Pray intentionally during the day. And if you do that, you will actually see God answer your prayers. You will see things happen that you can only attribute to the power of God working in your situation. Now, in actual fact, I've got a sneaky feeling that God answers our prayers anyway, even when we don't pray them. But the thing about praying intentionally is that we'll be aware of the answers to prayer that God is actually giving us. So start your day with God. Pray intentionally during the day. Just little small arrow prayers as you're going to work. Pray in your car as you're going to work, or I suggest that you don't close your eyes. Pray intentionally during the day and you will see answers to prayer. Because when we pray fervently, we've come to the end of our resources. When we come to the end of our resources, God just longs to give us the extra resources that we need to do his will. Is someone happy, let them sing songs of praise. Is someone sick, ask the elders of the church. Is someone struggling, pray about it. And I want to encourage you, as someone who struggles with prayer, to just go out of here this week and to start to pray. Maybe get back into prayer in a way that you've kind of lost, because I do that from time to time. But start praying intentionally for the circumstances that you find yourself in. Start giving praise to God, and you will find that God will come down and will answer your prayers, because we have an always-on connection to God and he longs to work in us and through us. Amen.
Well, we hope you've enjoyed listening to one of our sermons. If you'd like to learn more about what we do, then follow us on social media or visit our website www.holminster.org.